You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill. This time we're looking forward to the action coming up on Saturday, the 28th of July. And we've got a great Saturday of action. It's all headlined by the King George, of course, at Ascot. But there's a great card at York as well to back it all up. And plenty of supporting action from around the country. Newcastle, Chester, York, Newmarket, Salisbury and Lingfield. It's live on Racing Radio. The action gets underway at 1 o'clock. Please join us throughout the day for the racing live here on the podcast. My name's John Gibby. I'm joined by Craig Forsyth. Hello, Craig.
Hello, John Gibby. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. How are you?
Very good. Yeah, very good. Looking forward to a busy Saturday.
Yeah, it's one where we've got obviously a big group one, but we've also got a decent amount of supporting action in terms of group races, also in terms of handicaps. So there's plenty to look forward to.
It is, yeah. You know, and obviously Glorious Goodwood in Galway next week as well. A busy period. And yeah, Saturday, very busy and some good stuff.
So we're going to take a look at the three races on the podcast today. We'll be over to Ascot shortly for two of their bigger races of the day, but we'll start off at York for the 2:40. And they've got a 6-furlong handicap up at 2:40. It's not 1:05. And very competitive, Craig. 19 runners. And the betting at time of recording, we've got 8-1 co-favourites. And Jazzat, Golden Apollo and Jerome. Growl then 9-1, 11-1 into Saab. Watchable also 11-1. 12-1 for Baron Bolt, Summerhand and Tommy Taylor, and it's 14-1 bar. Again, these prices at time of recording, but the sort of outsider, if you like, of the field is 25-1 here, Craig. So it's very competitive in the betting.
Yes, it is very competitive, but I think we need to start probably with the weather and keeping an eye on the weather, because we're recording this, John, at 1 o'clock on Friday, and there is quite a bit of rain forecast. Thunderstorms are due to hit York on Friday afternoon, so that could have a major impact on the going. So, folks, please keep an eye on what happens on the Knaves Mire in terms of weather.
I'm just imagining you in front of a big sort of country weather map, going, you know, waving your hands and
yeah. Well, in terms of Friday's meeting, I'm in limbo with a couple of beds, John. I'm waiting till 5 o'clockish to see what rain does arrive, because already, you know, the Firmin Places has gone from the description, and I think we're now set to race or start this 2-day meeting on good ground. So it's going to be an important factor. I'm banking on a little bit of rain falling. If it does change the ground to good to soft or soft, the horse that I do like in this dash certainly won't be inconvenienced, and I think it'll be a help to him from what we've seen in the walking him at Ascot last time. And that was the horse that you put in, I think, fourth favourite there, John, at 9-1 was Growl.
Mm.
Richard Fye's horse. He's had two runs this year, finished second at Chester. You would imagine in that conditions race it was a pipe opener, really, to put, you know, blow the cobwebs away for the walking him at Royal Ascot. He ran on with a little bit of promise in the closing stages, but it just looked like a run that, you know, was going to put the finishing touches to his preparation for the big meeting. At Ascot itself, he was slightly disappointing. You know, he finished mid-division on that occasion, but for me, probably raced a little too close to what was a very, very strong pace. And as it happened, he ended up, you know, doing far too much in the first three furlongs and had no more to give inside the final furlong, weakening and lost quite a few places. But that suggested to me that he may still have needed his second start of the season, and there could be more to come. The handicap up very leniently has dropped him £3 for his recent effort, and I think he is well handicapped. And with a little bit of rain and the sting out the ground, I think that's the most important thing for him. He just seems to let himself down better with a little breeze in the surface. He's certainly handicapped to go close. And when the rain does arrive at York, there can be a bias towards high numbers. You know, they seem to drift across to the stands rail, as we've seen at an earlier meeting this year. And Growl looked perfectly positioned in stall 16.
Growl then for Craig in that 240 at York. Yeah, that's on ITV, in addition to the races we're going to be talking about from Ascot today and live on Racing Radio as well, of course. Don't forget Two Clear available on all televised racing on a Saturday. And Ascot, the 3 o'clock is the International Stakes Heritage Handicap over 7 furlongs. And again, Craig, another very competitive race here. 29 runners, a maximum field, as you would imagine. Maxime is the 7-1 favourite. 9-1 then for Rip Off, the Victoria Cup winner. Flaming Spear is 10-1. Firmament, 12-1. 12s also for El Primo Soleil. Burnt Sugar is then 14-1. Won the Bunbury Cup last time out. Shady McCoy also 14-1. And 16-1 bar.
I'm in the bar category here, John. A little bit of value. But just before we go into the selection, I mean, how can, you know, I backed Maxime in the Bunbury Cup. He's 7-1, and there was no excuses for him. And the winner, Burnt Sugar, it's double the price at 14-1.
Yeah.
I don't know why Burnt Sugar should be double the price of Maxime. For me, Burnt Sugar will finish in front of Maxime. But
that's not the selection, is it?
That's not the selection,
that's just
no.
Bonus wisdom.
That's just, yeah, a little bit extra, free extra. But no, I like one here at a price at 16-1, Sabador for Ed Walker. This is a horse, John, that clocked a real good figure when he won at Ayr last year off a market 85. He was of huge interest to me in the Britannia following that run because of an £8 higher mark, the figure he clocked and the way he went about his business at Ayr suggested, you know, he probably could well make it into three figures in terms of a handicap mark. He ended up being drawn the wrong side in the Britannia, finished 13th on that occasion, and unfortunately, we didn't see him again last season. He obviously picked up a little knock or niggle, which forced his absence for the remainder of that season. He reappeared this year in the Victoria Cup behind Ripoff at Ascot. I thought he finished a fine fourth on that occasion. And then Chester last time, he ended up in a bad position. He had to come wide into the straight. I thought he made a good move mid-race, but against the bias and pace of the race, you know, he paid the price for that and ended up dropping away to finish ninth, but at the same time still shaping a fair bit better than his final position suggests in that race. Now, he, you know, the handicapper has kept him on the same mark. He hasn't dropped him. I think Ascot will suit him. You know, I think the fast pace that he needs should be on here. There's a lot of front runners in the race, and I think at 16-1 he's a fair each way pricing what is a very competitive handicap.
Do you think the horses that have come out and run well in the Victoria Cup are at an advantage here given this is over the same course and distance?
Yeah, you know course and distance form is crucial at Ascot. You know, time and time again you see the same horses that have run well on the straight track coming back and repeating their form but struggling elsewhere. A previous solid run, or two solid runs if you take in last year's Britannia form, you know, is a huge positive.
Sabador then for Craig in that International Stakes 16-1 at time of recording. And 40 minutes later, one of the biggest races of the summer, well, at least it's supposed to be one of the biggest races of the summer, Craig, the King George. And as we record this, we're a little bit in the dark about how the shape of the race. As you listen to this, you might be a bit more in the know. Obviously, Cracksman, he seems unlikely as a runner now, we're hearing this morning, because there's been a lack of rain overnight at Ascot. But just to run through the betting, Poet's Word, who of course beat him at Ascot last time, is the 9-4 favourite. 5-2 Cracksman. Crystal Ocean also 5-2. 10-1 then for Coronet. Hydrangea is 10-1. Rostropovich 20-1. 22-1 Sado, and Desert Encounter is the 50-1 outsider of this field of eight for the 2018 King George VI and Queen Elizabeth Stakes, Craig.
Yeah, you know, Cracksman, even if he does go, wouldn't be the selection for me, John, I have to say. After what we've seen on his last two runs.
What if it tipped it down?
Wouldn't make a huge difference. I would have to change the ground really soft.
Yeah.
You know, you're looking at a fair bit of rain to go from good to firm to soft. And I think, you know, I would have to come up real proper soft ground for Cracksman to be considered. He just, even on soft ground at Epsom, he just hasn't looked the same horse. You know, and people blame the track at Epsom. But if you look, you know, at the top of the hill and where the stalls are positioned, he was never going after a furlong. And it was the same last time as well at Royal Ascot in the Prince of Wales. You know, Frankie was at him at within the first 200 yards of the race. So clearly there's just been something holding Cracksman back. To his credit, and it's, you know, it's the absolute class of the horse, if you like. He seems to be, whatever's holding him back, he seems to be running through it and trying his best to, you know, produce a big performance, which he has done. But, you know, he managed to scramble home at Epsom in the Coronation Cup, and then last time, you know, Portsword easily went by him in the closing stages of that race. I just think there's a little niggle with Cracksman at the moment that seems to be holding him back, because he just isn't going through his races with the same fluency as he was last year, and I don't think that's entirely down to the ground. Looking back, John, previous winners, when was the last 5-year-old to win this race?
Oh, bloody hell. I'm imagining it was quite a while ago.
It was, it was.
Was this before my time? Because...
Probably. He's a good sire, I know.
Who is it?
1999 was the year.
Oh, well, I was 3 years old, so definitely before my time.
Dale Army.
Okay, yeah.
Dale Army, the last 5-year-old to win this race. Poet's Word is obviously the horse is going to try and break that losing streak of the older horses here.
When you said good sire, I almost said Galileo, and I thought definitely not in training as a 5-year-old.
Port's Word, obviously, you know, the beat Cracksman in the Prince of Wales, produced a personal best on that occasion. And, you know, I think he's definitely the one they all have to beat. Obviously, Sir Michael Stout has Crystal Ocean, who has got a lovely profile this year. You know, it was good performance at Sandown, better dad at Newbury, and then ran a personal best for me in the Hardwick. I thought that was a real good run from Crystal Ocean. So he's on an upward curve. He's got a progressive profile. He is a danger. But for me, I think we have to stick with Poet's Word on what we've seen at Royal Ascot and the Prince of Wales.
Poet's Word, the selection then for Craig in this year's King George. It's live on Racing Radio on Saturday, 3:40 the time at Ascot. Craig, thanks very much for your thoughts on the racing from York and Ascot. Plenty more great stuff to come on Racing Radio. Join me tomorrow for another edition of the podcast. And Craig, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, John.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.